And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Joy of the feast be with you. Let's go back to Pascha night. I'm beginning to believe that here is where we may begin to discern the theology of the Lord's ascension, which we just celebrated, as you know, this last Thursday. I'm thinking that we should attend not only to what we read on Pascha night, but to when we read it. In the beginning, we read, was the Word. All things were made by Him, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We read this gospel only on Pascha night, this gospel from St. John, only on Pascha night. I think maybe we should not overlook this, the fact that we say it, we read this gospel only on Pascha night, because I think it may tell us what the beginning might be in its spiritual depth, which I think may open to us the spiritual reality veiled in the Lord's glorious ascension. You remember that on the steps, before we came into the church, we read the gospel from St. Mark. The English translation is, I should say the Greek is difficult to translate into the English. But you remember that it says that the myrrh-bearing women were in fear, and in the Greek it says they were in ecstasis. In other words, they were outside of themselves. So you could say that we read this gospel from St. John on Pascha night in this ecstasis of the myrrh-bearing women, which is an ecstasis, you know, being outside of ourselves, in a place outside of ourselves that is in the Lord's resurrection. We read this gospel from St. John, therefore, in the Lord's tomb, with the myrrh-bearing women, in ecstasis. This tomb of the Lord that has now been opened, for the stone was rolled away. And so we are now reading this Gospel of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We are reading that Gospel in the mystery that the Lord's tomb now opens unto. So what I'm saying is that we read this gospel in the Lord's tomb, but it's like the Lord's tomb, you know, it's open. It has no door anymore, and the door opens out into the resurrection of Christ. This is the mystery of the ecstasis of the myrrh-bearing women. Ecstasy. In English, but I prefer the Greek, because when I say ecstasy, you think other things in the English. I want you to think what the Greek is saying, ecstasis, standing outside of themselves. This is the mystery of the ecstasis, which I think is somehow related to the beginning. A mystery of the Spirit that is beyond our life in this world of life and death. You hear what I'm saying? On Pascha night, we're brought into this quote-unquote place that is beyond this world. It's beyond our life in this world. It's beyond our life and death. We stand now at a point, in a point, that is, as it were, outside of us and outside of our life in this world, outside of our life and death, at a point that is beyond that point where we begin to live and where we die. Following the Lord to His holy Pascha, we have been led with the myrrh bearers into the mystery of the ecstasis, or into the beginning. And so we stand with the myrrh bearers in the beginning, in the tomb. In other words, outside that point where our life and our death in this world begins, and we are standing there in the mystery of the Lord's death, or that point of ecstasis in which the Lord's resurrection and ascension begins. here in the mystery of the Lord's fearsome resurrection, standing in the realm of this ecstasis, where we are beyond our life and death in this world, we have passed over into the beginning. He is not here in the tomb, the angel says to the myrrh-bearing women. He is in the beginning with the Father, in that place of ecstasis in which he created the world and everything in it. The uncreated life of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this life is the uncreated light, or shall we say, it is the light that has no beginning, that illumines men, so that in this light that has no beginning, in this place of ecstasis that is beyond our life and death in this world, they may come to know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, as we read in our gospel this morning. And in this knowledge of Jesus Christ and the true God, that we might receive the words that he has given to us through his holy apostles, and so attain to the uncreated eternal life of God himself, or shall we say, the life of God that has no beginning, and so become one with him, even as he is one with the Father in the Holy Spirit. So to be raised to the life of God, to be raised up to the life of God, which is Christ himself. Remember, the life of God is not some energy field. The life of God is the person of Christ himself. To receive, to be raised up into this life of God, to be raised up into Christ by receiving and believing in the words of the Lord, the Word of God, which is Christ, that he has given to us. And so to become one with him, so that we become holy as he is holy. We become perfect as he is perfect. All of this, I'm thinking, this is the theology of the Lord's ascension. It's all about becoming deified, sanctified, divinized, becoming gods, children of the Most High. The beginning of this mystery is that the Lord became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the very beginning of this mystery of us becoming so one with God, that we become children of God. This is the work he was given by the Father to do, to raise us up, to become one with us so that we could become one with him. Is the church telling us through St. John's Gospel read on Pascha night that he did this work in the beginning, understood now not just as a point in space-time that's in the past, but rather as a mystery of the Spirit that is eternally present to us, as the point at which we begin to be, and where, because of our idolatry and our disobedience, we end? Following such holy fathers as St. Macarius the Egyptian and St. Isaac of Nineveh, that point where we begin and end, the point of our beginning and our end, is found in the tomb of our heart. Following Jeremiah the prophet, I see as the place of ecstasis the heart that is deep beyond all things, where we begin to exist, as that irreducible someone that was and is and always will be who we truly are, beyond all things, beyond the world, beyond our biographies. There's something about us, each one of us, that cannot be reduced to your biography. It cannot be reduced to how much you weigh, how tall you are, what age you are. It cannot be reduced to that. There is something about us, or rather, there is a someone that we are. And we don't know who we are until we know the Christ sent by the Father, in whom we were made in the beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Without changing, he became what we are. Without ceasing to be God, he became man. He became one with us. He became one with us in the beginning. That is to say, in this place of ecstasis. That is to say, in this place, this mystical place that I'm trying to describe, where we begin and end. In the womb of the Virgin and in the tomb of our heart. What I'm saying is that he became one with us. He became one with you and with me at the deepest point of our existence, of our being. At that point where we begin and end. That's where he became one with us. Receiving this word of the gospel, both as proclaimed and as the incarnate God himself, receiving this word is the beginning for catching the wonder of the gospel. It proclaims that by his birth from the Most Holy Virgin, God is with us. By his voluntary death and burial, God is intimately one with us, absolutely and perfectly. He is not out of us, outside of us, sometime in the past. He's not outside of us somewhere up there. But he is here, in our midst, as we say. He is in you, as St. Paul would say. By the mystery of his virgin birth, his death and his burial, in other words, his incarnation, the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, no longer presents himself to us in words of command, but rather as the divine, the living, the life-creating, the healing, sanctifying, and deifying principle of our life that illumines us in his uncreated light, in his light that has no beginning, that has become one with us in the beginning, where in the ecstatic mystery of our heart, at that point where we begin and end. He came to his own, we heard on Pascha night, and to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, born not of the blood, the desire of the flesh, or the will of the man, but begotten of God. I am no longer in the world, we hear the Lord saying to the Father this morning. Yet, he says, they, pointing to his disciples, they are in the world. And I am coming to thee, O Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given to me. I'm caught by the descending and ascending movement of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he descends from the Father to us in the beginning, at the root of our being, the tomb of our heart, and how he ascends back to the Father in the beginning, which I now take to mean that he ascends back to the Father, not just as the Son of God, which he never ceased to be, but as the Son of Man, which he became and now never ceases anymore to be. It means that when he ascends, he doesn't leave us. For he ascends in the beginning. He ascends in the ecstasis of our heart at that point where we begin and end, deep beyond all things, and where he became one with us, when he pitched his tent among us and shared in our flesh and blood, even to the point of death on the cross. I'm caught by this gospel proclamation because it is, so St. Paul teaches us, the mystery of God that is in you. It's not an idea. It's an, if you will pardon me, an ontological principle of our life. Beloved faithful, that means that there percolates in us, as it were, a mustard seed, a divine mustard seed, that acts like a small grain of leaven, that leavens, or rather enlivens, the whole lump of bread. This Word of God, who was in the beginning, descending and ascending in the deeps of our heart, where we are deep beyond all things. Ezekiel describes this descending movement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He describes it as a mighty stream of living water, cascading from the temple of the Lord on the mountain to wash over us, if we would but draw near it, and then catching us up, if we would but step into it and immerse ourselves in it, and make us completely one with God, if we would but drink it. For the Father to keep us in the name that He has given to His beloved Son, so that we could become one, even as the Father and Son are one in the glory, the Spirit that the Lord had with the Father from before the world was. This, therefore, must mean to make us one, that the Lord Jesus Christ is petitioning, is interceding for us and petitioning the Father, that He would make us one with this descending and ascending movement of the Lord's holy Pascha and glorious ascension. The sacred movement of the divine Word then becomes the inner principle of our life, working in us, working deep within us, in the beginning of our heart, to make us one with the Lord Jesus Christ in His own glory, that He, with immeasurable grace and compassion, gives to those who receive His words and believe in Him, who in their mind, in their will, their moods, their emotions, their bodies, in all of their worldly relations and actions, live in and for the mystery of God who is in them, so that they are shaped and refashioned in the beginning, in the deeps of their heart, where they begin and now open onto the love of God that abides forever, that they may be refashioned and reshaped in the life-giving joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to radiate from within, from in the beginning, the beauty, the love, the joy, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He who is Himself, all the riches and the wisdom of God, that we might become partakers of His divine nature. Beloved faithful, in the joy of the feast, hear the call of the Spirit and His bride. They are crying out, "Come, you who are thirsty, drink the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning, in the deeps of your heart, and watch in wonder and thanksgiving as He transfigures our living and dying in this world to become a never-ending ascent from glory to glory in the love and joy of the Most Holy Trinity. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Christ is ascended.